This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And we're going to take a look at the state of the city of Roseburg this afternoon. Mayor Larry Rich, City Manager Nikki Messenger, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So on Monday night, Mayor, you gave the annual State of the City address. We kind of want to work our way through that. And of course, that's available up on the city website as well if people want to listen through to the meeting. But, you know, it's been an interesting year for Roseburg. And as you began, one of the things as well was how many new people you have on the council all at once and some longtime veterans retiring.
Well, we had two that retired, Bob Cotterell and Bev Cole, and we had three that are new, Alan Porter, Ruth Smith, and David Moore. So out of the eight city councilors, three of them are first time on council.
And, of course, that'll lead to a lot of questions, Nikki, probably in coming months.
It definitely will. They're all super eager to learn and have had some great questions so far.
So, first of all, let's go in from there. Let's talk about, just kind of work the way through you laid how you laid this out. One of the big things for Roseburg this year was 150th birthday of a city. And, you know, marks like that, we don't often get to experience because probably we won't be around for the next one.
Well, it was amazing to see this thing come together because when we first started, it was like, well, what do we want to do? It's coming up in October. It's like January, February. What do we want to plan for? And it was just neat to see the number of people come together, say, hey, I want to help, and look at all the number of events that happened. And we started with just thinking of one day, and it turned out to be the entire month of October.
And as well, talk about the time capsule, all the work there.
It was a lot of fun putting that together. It's one of those things where you see the items that are going in and very impressive the type of things that people wanted to put in there representing their organizations. They're thinking, well, what does somebody want to know about that particular organization 50 years from now? So it was fun sealing up the items, putting them in the box. And then, of course, you hope that you do a good job of sealing it. And those that are still alive 50 years from now can see if it worked and if everything is still in good shape.
And an interesting story, too, about the life-size cutout of Aaron Rose. Talk about how that all evolved.
Well, the staff found Aaron Rose, and he was in bad shape and needed to be refurbished. And so they looked around to find somebody. They asked my wife if she'd be willing to do it, so she said okay. So we had Aaron Rose cut out in our house there for probably about 6 months as she was working on restoring that. And then partway through, they found out that another person actually is the one who did the original one. So the two of them were able to sign the back of it now, and hopefully the Aaron Rose cutout will hold up for a number of years. It's in the lobby, so if anybody wants to see the original city founder, they can go in the lobby and take a look at him.
And quite a new painting that you commissioned as well.
Yes, and that one was by Susan Applegate. So she took on the responsibility of trying to decide what represents Roseburg for the 150th birthday party, what our history is, and really did an outstanding job of putting together a painting. We unveiled it in council, and you can also see that at the City Hall.
So looking at highlights from the past year, Nikki, I would think at the top of the list really was the front end of the Gary Leaf Navigation Center being open.
Yeah, that was super exciting because it was something that we had to put together really rather quickly. We had a June 30th date to get that open, and with help from UCAN and others, we were able to get the first phase open, which is the 10 what we call mod pods, which are actually a single structures that have two single beds in them, and that's been a great start. We are now under construction with demolition and other construction activities in the building itself that will eventually lead to congregate sheltering.
And while all that's going on, the senior center ended up being used a number of times to sort of serve that purpose at periodic points.
Yeah, we're super thankful to the senior center that they were able to step up and be both a cooling center and a warming center. So we had some really hot days in the past couple of summers, dangerously so, and they were able to help with both UCAN and Onward Roseburg that were able to partner with the Senior Center, we were able to kick in some of the funding and really make a difference in being able to get people out of the heat or out of the cold, depending on which type of severe event we're having.
And I know you had a committee working on a proposal for a charter update. That'll be on the ballot later this year, right?
And so we'll take it to council, I believe, at our next meeting, so they can make that final decision whether or not to send it on to the voters. And if they do, that'll be at the May election.
And then the Roseburg Visitor Center, a new one opened. Talk about that.
Well, it was nice to see it open. With a pandemic, you can't really do much. So they've been working behind the scenes, getting ready, and to have it opened and available for the public to walk in is just a nice blessing.
And a number of camps removed by city officers and others in the past year. It seems like this is kind of a recurring thing.
So we're working on those every week. It is about a four-day process from beginning to end, from the time that it gets posted with the 72-hour notice to the time that the camps are cleaned up. It is quite a process. We could spend a whole hour talking about it, but it's something we do almost every week. Some weeks we're not able to do it, either because we have personnel that are unavailable, or the work crew's unavailable, or there's been at least one occasion that we just didn't have any more storage to store things. So we try and do our best to keep our parks cleaned up, and it's just an ongoing process until we can come up with some better solutions.
This year, the Neowalla Parade really came back in full force. I mean, the number of people out there that night was kind of mind-blowing.
It really was, especially given the weather wasn't the best. It was a pretty typical Oregon weather. We had some pretty good rain, but it was great to see everybody downtown, and the littles were pretty excited about it.
Now, you had some promotions. You had new people on staff. Larry, talk about some of those.
Well, our fire chief is now Tyler Christofferson, so he's the new chief, and he was the assistant chief, so we're looking for a replacement of his position, his old position. And Don Easley is our new public works director, and so we're welcoming both to the city of Roseburg.
And across the street from our building, I noticed one day, I don't even remember when, this new minivan for the library.
If you haven't seen it, you got to take a look at it. It's really nice. Nice design, picture on the side of the van, something that everybody can recognize when it's driving around. You know that's the Roseburg City Public Library's van.
So that's going to be at various locations. So let's go through some of the departments, and I don't know which one of you wants to tackle which one, but let's start out with administration.
I didn't bring my cheat sheet of notes, but so I guess one of the highlights for the administration department this year is really celebrating our city recorder and assistant city manager, Amy Soa, who was recognized by the state organization that she's part of as the recorder of the year. We were super proud of her. We believe we pulled that off without her knowing. It was quite an application process that our communications specialist helped us with. And then Larry and I were able to surprise her at the event as well when she received the award. So that was a lot of fun. Well deserved. Amy does a ton of work for the city in just a variety of different aspects of what she is able to accomplish for us. So we wanted to make sure that she got recognized for that, and we made it happen. So we're super proud of her.
It seemed like human resources stayed real busy just coming through this phase of things. Some people's lives shifted. They went other places, and you had to find new people.
It's been crazy. I mean, there's a lot of talk around COVID and the kind of the great resignation. And really, I think people just are leaving jobs for other jobs. And I think government lagged about a year. And I think we're now in that same phase where we're seeing the workforce issues, where we're all competing for the same people. And there are other organizations in our area that recognize that we have some really talented folks, and they have managed to they've managed to recruit them away. And so, yep, we've had some key folks that have left to advance their careers, and we're actively constantly filling positions as they become available. So our HR director is in an interview process 3 to 4 days a week right now.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of that going on. We're going to talk more about the city when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the Interviewee podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. We're talking about the city of Roseburg. Mayor Larry Rich, city manager Nikki Messenger in studio with us this afternoon. And Larry, communications has been a bigger piece of what the city is going on. Talk about some of the things there that have been happening.
Well, Suzanne Hurt is our communications specialist, and she's instrumental in getting out the message to the community as to what's happening in the city of Roseburg, and she does a wonderful job. She puts out the Facebook posts, anything that has to do with media relations or photography or any of those things that help get our message out, she's there. And she was instrumental in letting the community know about the 150th birthday party and the events that are going on, and she also helped us out tremendously on the Gary Leaf Navigation Center and all the progress that has been made there.
Now, finance doesn't always get a lot of people all that excited sometimes, but there's a lot of things when you're a city government and you've got the resources and the pools of money. It's very complex. You have to have the right people there, and it seems like that's been going pretty well.
It really has. We, you know, finance is in the background of everything we do. They work with every department. And they keep us on the straight and narrow, right? We have somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 27 or 28 different funds. And a lot of that money is dedicated money that can only be used for certain purposes. And so it's really important that we have a strong finance department that keeps us in between those boundaries and make sure that we are staying within our budget and doing other things. And so super much in the background, but super important role. And they, again, received awards this year for the annual financial reporting, the annual comprehensive financial report. I think it's the 28th or 29th year in a row for that. And that's really on the city's audit that we get done by a third party every year. And then they also produce what's called the popular annual financial report. And they received, we've only been doing that for, I think, 8 years. And I think this is the eighth year they've got that award. So high quality information they're putting out and doing a great job of tracking our finances and supporting all of the departments.
So let's talk about the library. That's one of the things that in the last few years, you know, we had that period of time after the county library system dissolved. And then there was a call to have the city take this piece here. A lot of work went into that. How's that going?
So you probably saw, they can't see through the radio, but it's hard to talk about the library without smiling because everything they do comes with such high energy. They do a great job, Chris and Aurora down there. And it's a fabulous facility. And if folks haven't been to see it, they need to get down there because it looks a lot different than it did when it was a county library. And it's hopping. And they do some great events. And they, you know, with the minivan, they follow around Lunchbox Express during the summer, trying to fill that summer reading gap and make sure we're getting crafts and books into the hands of kiddos.
One of the modern aspects of this, and I remember, oh, I don't know, it was probably right before COVID, when Chris Wiley was talking about something going on, and I said, wait, you're going to let people make noise?
Yeah, that theory that libraries are just silent is dated, and there's a lot of activity happening in the library. We want it to be a lively space, you know, with constraints on not disturbing other people, but it's okay to make noise in the library.
So, Larry, talk about community development and how things are going in the city in that regard.
Well, Stu Cowie is our director for community development, and it's been a busy year just looking at a number of the things that he's been working on. We've got the Cascade Community Credit Union expansion. We have the Aviva Health facility that was expanded, the new First Interstate Bank, grocery outlets, relocation, a U.S. Market and Spades Age fuel station. And we had a number of restaurants, Mod Pizza, In-N-Out Burger, and Chipotle. So there's been a lot of activity happening this past year.
And interestingly, restaurants coming are the biggest thing that gets reads on our media platforms when a new restaurant's announced. That's when the numbers go through the roof sometimes. So that's interesting to follow. Do you feel like the city, you know, I was looking at some data from a long time ago, and I think it was 1980 when Bend and Roseburg were about the same size. Bend has obviously gotten a lot bigger. Roseburg has gotten bigger, but not to the same degree. Do we have kind of a space issue here within the city limits? Do you ever look at that and the urban growth boundary and try to figure out what to do?
So we're definitely looking at the urban growth boundary. And the way we're looking at it is really as a swap for taking out some areas that are steep, that are already within the existing urban growth boundary and really expensive to develop for residential. I think everybody's pretty aware we need more flat buildable land within our urban growth boundary for housing. We hear a lot of times where employers are having trouble getting workforce here because they hire some good folks, but they can't find housing. So that is a really high priority for our city council. It's one of their goals, and we are actively working on that swap. In the process of signing a contract with a consultant that's going to help us get that application finished up, given our staffing issues, and get that thing moving forward.
Well, and I know some people like being up on a hillside and all that, but it just adds so many layers to the costs and the steps in a development.
It certainly does. And the parcels that we're talking about taking out, at least one of them would require, if not one, I believe it's actually two additional reservoirs. So a reservoir and then a pump station up to a higher reservoir. So you're talking multi-million dollars just to get the water system in. That doesn't even get you to the road system, the sewer system, all those things you need before you even build your first house. So yes, you can put some housing up there, but it's going to be definitely some higher level housing. And if it's developed outside the urban growth boundary, that changes what those standards need to be and makes it more developable than it would be within a city density.
Now, Public Works used to be your prior position. Talk about some of the things they've had going on this year with both Public Works and Parks.
So they're always busy, and some of the main concentration in Public Works has been around the water system. And it's one of those things where people know there's things going on, but I don't think they realize the gravity, so to speak, of replacing transmission mains, right? We're in this phasing of replacing what is an existing 20-inch transmission main that I think it's about 88, 90 years old with a new 24-inch. And we do sections of that every year, or Public Works is doing sections of that. So everybody realized they were not very happy about the traffic and the bumpiness of the road around Costco, but I'm not sure they realized why, which is really we only have two large pipes that are bringing that water from our treatment plant at the North Umpqua to the main reservoir complex. And one of those pipes is 90 years old. We're in the process of replacing it. It's millions of dollars. The other really exciting project that's not quite complete, but the backup power at the water treatment plant has been placed. And so the generator's there, the fuel source is there. We're waiting for the switching equipment so that thing can go live. And so if we end up with Snowmageddon again, or even a situation where PP&L has to shut down the power to the plant because it's almost in a interface area for wildfire, that we have a power source that's going to keep that water treatment plant up and running.
Now, we mentioned a new fire chief earlier, but let's look at the police department real quick and just how busy they've been.
Almost out of time. Sorry, I've been talking away. We're almost out of time. They have been super busy. They do a great job. I'm super proud of our police department. With all the turnover, they've had a lot of training of new folks, and they are interviewing. If anybody's interested in working for RPD, go to our website. But they do a fabulous job. They have a high level of service, and they're going to continue to keep that up, even through the challenges of staffing, and I'm proud of them for that.
So, Larry, what is the one thing you're looking forward to in the next year, or this year?
Well, we're going to have the Gary Leaf Navigation Center remodel, hopefully finished, and that'll allow 30 additional beds inside. And it's just neat to see this whole project come to fruition. It's been a pleasure to watch it in action.
All right, Mayor Larry Rich, City Manager Nikki Messenger, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.